prayer in your life and mine is powerful. We want to stop saying, I don't pray, I can't pray, I'm too busy to pray, I don't know how to pray. Let's simply say, Lord, I would like to learn to pray. Now, I want to give you a response, and I shared it with you last week. It's something of a new life response. And my prayer, no pun intended, is that it catch on. And then it becomes so widespread that it's far more present in Middle Tennessee than Jesus is Lord magnets. I pray it changes the way that you interact with people. It's a little phrase. I gave it to you last weekend. Let's pray. Can you say it with me?
Let's pray.
On three, let's say it with some enthusiasm, all right? One, two, three.
Let's pray.
You're warming up. It's a simple phrase. You don't need a Greek word study or a Hebrew alphabet or any scholarly approach. It's a simple little response. And it'll fit into the portfolio of your life really simply if you'll allow it to. I want to take just a minute with it again. It's so important. This isn't a one-time thing. We'll have to live with this to let it take root in our heart. We are social creatures. God made us that way. We interact with one another. You have this morning. You've chatted with people that are seated near you. You talked to people in the lobby. Somebody greeted you. There's also, you fought somebody for a cupcake. All kinds of things have happened since you've come to church today. And in the course of your normal day, and your normal, there are dozens and dozens of people that bump into your life. Some in person, some electronically, some with texts and tweets and social media posts and all kinds of way that we communicate. And when they do that, people are talking to you. They're giving you little windows into their lives, little insights into who they are. Good morning, how are you? I'm not doing very well. The kids were sick all night. And if you grew up in the South, we have a whole menu of little phrases that polite people use when we meet one another, don't we? How are you today? We don't care. We don't really intend for you to answer. We just grew up in the South, and if we didn't say that, we got whooped. So we have this facade of politeness, but it creates all these interactions for us. And if you people are talking to you about their life, how are you doing this morning? Traffic on I-24 was awful. I agree. Traffic on I-24 will make the preacher cuss. I mean, not this one, but I drive Murfreesboro Road. But when people bump your life that way, you're used to responding to them almost mindlessly. Oh, I'm sorry your kids weren't well. Yeah, traffic's awful. It always is, you know. Who you got in the game today? You know, just all this chatter. In my mind, I think of them as empty words. Hundreds and hundreds of them we use every day. They're just a part of these social interfaces. Not really much thought attached to them, very little intent attached to them. They're the vocal equivalent of empty calories. You know, if you don't watch yourself, you'll consume hundreds of calories in a day that have no nutritional value whatsoever. Beverages and, you know, and you've blown your calorie count through the roof, but you haven't gotten any nutrition out of it. You just get fluffy. Well, you can do the same thing with your words. You can use all kinds of words in the course of your day, but really have no intent attached to them, no benefit really coming from them. You're just kind of spending your words. I want to make a suggestion. When you have these little interfaces at work, at home, at the grocery store, when you're purchasing gasoline, at Home Depot, wherever you're going, and somebody gives you that little window of interface, here's your response. Let's pray. Let's pray. My kids were sick last night. Oh, let's pray. I got a load I got to haul all the way to Kentucky and it's raining. Let's pray. I'm behind. This is my third delivery and everybody's had questions. I don't know if I'm going to get through let's pray. This is a really hard procedure. I hope we don't have any complications. Let's pray. We're behind on the budget. I don't know what. Let's pray. Let's pray. Now, here's the key. When you say, let's pray, the very next thing I want you to suggest you do is drop your head and begin a prayer. Don't say to them, would it be okay if I prayed for you? Now you've given them the power to shut you down. All right, let's just pray. And when you say that, you drop your head. They may be reading. They may be texting. They may be looking at the birds, but you're getting ready to pray. And with one sentence, you only get one sentence. Don't you swell up like a preacher. All right? This is a one sentence. This is a spiritual hors d'oeuvre. This is the equivalent of a spiritual hit and run. One sentence. How are you? I'm not great. I didn't sleep good last night. I don't feel good. God, give us your strength today in Jesus' name. Amen. How you doing? I'm not doing great. I don't like it when it rains. God, let your light brighten our day in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one sentence. Don't quote a verse. Don't bring him a CD of the sermon. Don't hand him a track. Don't talk to him about your moral perspective on how they're living. Just let's pray in a one-sentence prayer. If you pray three sentences, you're too long. And please pray in the voice that you were talking to them with before you prayed. Okay? None of this superficial. Let's pray. Oh, God. Sometimes I think God hits Gabriel and said, did you just see that? Who knew Alan did voices? Just pray in the same tone you were talking to them. One sentence. Now, when you're done praying, this is important, just move on. Don't wait for a response. Don't look to them to say, that was special. You know, I grew up in the country. Don't stand there and look at them with cow eyes. As if you're expecting something to settle on them, okay? No super spirituality, no pseudo anything. You have said a prayer and you move on. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you have a great day. Just re-engage your normal conversation. Now, over the course of your day, you can do that 3 or 4 or 10 times. And fellas, it's important for you too. No matter what kind of job you do, no matter what your interface with people is, you have ways that we talk to one another. When the women aren't listening, we actually talk to one another. We do. It's a secret. It's okay. When we're not there, they actually eat. So it's okay. It works both ways. But you know, if you're loading the truck and you got a delivery to make somebody place else, hey, God, let it be a safe trip in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're starting a complicated procedure in the operating suite, God, direct every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got a tough business decision to make, God, we need your wisdom. Amen. Just a sentence prayer, and then you're gone. No attention, no focus on it, no drama, no drum roll, no crescendo. Just acknowledging, God, we can do this. We know how to slip in a comment about our favorite Super Bowl team or our favorite SEC team or our favorite hunting spot or when deer season opens or whatever else you're interested in, how you like to cook barbecue the best or whatever interests you, you slip that into your day all the time. And somebody said, well, you know, where I work, they don't really like us to bring spiritual things in there. I get that. That's why I'm suggesting it's just a sentence, and it's just as normal to you as saying, are you going to watch the ball game today? Because, I mean, technically speaking, when you go to work, they really don't want you making a personal text. They don't intend for you to look at something on the internet that isn't work-related, ever. They really would prefer you not be compensated by them to talk to coworkers about non-work things. But all that stuff happens. So why not have the courage to just in a sentence bring God into the dialogue? Let's pray. Let's pray. What would happen if thousands of us across the communities, in the classrooms and the courtrooms and the quarters of the hospital and the job sites and the factory floors, in our neighborhoods, in our soccer fields, let's pray. Let's pray. It'll change our community.
Hello, church. It's good to have a moment with you. I have good news today. The gospel is enough. The transformation of a human life from the inside out, that's what the gospel does. Now, I have discovered something in the years that I've served a local congregation. There's a difference in a crowd of people and being engaged in a community of faith. When people make that decision to stop just being part of the crowd and to invest time, energy, and resources in that community, it changes their spiritual life. I want to give you an invitation today. I'm grateful that you're a part of the crowd who watch the ministry, but I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a monthly ministry partner with us. Step out of the crowd and become a part of the community of faith. That monthly commitment on your part, it enables us to reach more people more effectively, more consistently than ever before. The gospel is enough. And together, I believe we can make an impact in this generation.
Help us share biblical truth with people across our nation and around the world by becoming a ministry partner today. To join the program, sign up to make an automatic recurring donation of $25 or more each month at allenjackson.com or by calling 800-880-5102. With your first recurring donation, we will send you a free gift. You will also get a 10% discount anytime you shop in our online store. You'll gain access to exclusive content and teachings from Pastor Allen and invitations to special ministry events. Our ministry partners hold a special place at Allen Jackson Ministries, and we're honored to stand alongside you as we share God's truth.
When you finally hear the truth being told flat out, you hear it. And I think we both heard it.
This guy speaks what needs to be said, and you hear what you need to hear.
The truth that they will hear will just amaze them, and it'll make them hunger more and more for the truth and for the Word of God, which is the most important. It's the Word of God that will count.
You need to be tuned into what's going on, and you need to be in your heart, know that you're taking the action that needs to be taken.
I believe if you'll make that regular commitment to what God is doing through this ministry, it'll bring momentum to your spiritual life, and it will help us reach more people than we've ever reached with the gospel before. Thank you.
First Samuel chapter 1, we get to listen in on a prayer that a woman is praying. Her name is Hannah. Do you know Hannah? She will be the mother of Samuel. Samuel is a pivotal figure in the scripture. Two books in the Bible bear his name, 1 and 2 Samuel. He's the last of the judges. Samuel is the one who will ultimately anoint Saul to be king of Israel and David to be king of Israel. He's a man of tremendous influence, tremendous leadership, a pivotal character. But before Samuel's born, we're introduced to his mother, Hannah, a godly woman. When we first meet her, she is childless, and she's disappointed, discouraged, and broken. And we get to listen to her prayer. It says, greatly distressed, she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. I hope you have the imagination that prayers can be uttered from places in your life where there's brokenness and bitterness. See, God uses us not just in the triumphal places of our lives, but God most often seems to me is present in the most vulnerable places of my life. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget me, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. You know what happened? God heard her prayer. And not too long after, she conceived and gave birth to a son. You know what she did? When he was old enough to wean, she took him to the high priest. She took him to Eli, who served over the tabernacle. It was the center of Israelite worship. And she said, this child was conceived in response to a vow to God. He must grow up here. And she left Samuel under the care of Eli. It says that when they would make their annual pilgrimage for the holiday to the tabernacle in Shiloh, she would take clothes to the child every year. How hard would that be? I want you to feel the strength of Hannah. Now, God gave her other children, but she kept her vow with Samuel. But more importantly to me, listen to her prayer. In verse 11, she made a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts. It's not as clear in the English. The literal translation of that is the Lord of the armies. When Hannah got ready to express her heart to the Lord, she didn't say, oh God, I know you love me so much. Because she needed something more than a cuddly place. She said, you're the Lord of the armies. You're the commander, the authority, the director of all. And I need your help. Hannah had other options. Way back in Exodus 15, hundreds of years earlier, it's a part of Israelite history. I assure you she knew it. The Lord said, I'm Jehovah Rapha. It's the Hebrew word for physician. I'm the Lord your doctor. She could have prayed to the Lord her doctor and said, whatever's causing the lack of children, you heal me. That's not what she prayed. She could have prayed to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, and said, Lord, you provide all things. That's not what she prayed. She said, you're the Lord of the armies. It's all under your control. You see, our image of God, how we imagine God, how we relate to God, will shape a great deal about how you pray to God. One of the greatest honors and privileges of your life is to approach the throne of grace. To not care enough about it to invest the time and energy suggests we don't value it. You know, we have words, and language is a tool for communication. We have words that are general in scope. We talk about food. If I said, come to my house, we'll have food. That doesn't give you much definition. That's no incentive, is it? Because I might give you all the mushrooms I don't want. Or if I say, we have work to do, bring a tool. You don't know whether you need a chainsaw or a feather duster. It makes a difference. Said, I would like to give you some fruit. You don't know if you're going to get apples or persimmons. They're all general terms, not wicked or evil. If we say, let's play sports, you don't know if we're going to shoot marbles or run a marathon. They're general terms. Well, in the same way, prayer is a general term. It lacks the specificity to know what really needs to come after that. To simply say pray is about as helpful as saying food. You have the sense that there could be some nourishment, but whether it's acceptable or appropriate isn't clear. What I want to suggest is that you and I can build a portfolio of prayers. We can learn to select the prayer for the need that is presented. Now, we'll need God's help to do this. We can learn. But rather than simply stay on the sidelines and have one general term, I have work to do, need tool. Me hungry, food. That's about the level of sophistication we've had. Have problem, pray. God would help us with more if we're willing to be learners. Look with me in your notes, Luke 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they've been with Jesus for a while. They've seen him walk on the water. They've seen him feed a multitude. They've seen him stand in a cemetery and say, Lazarus, come here. They've seen him stand in a boat and speak to the wind and the waves. They know prayer. They've been in synagogue and at the temple. They've heard the rabbis pray and the priests pray. They're familiar with prayer, but they've never seen anybody pray like Jesus. So they said, Lord, could you teach us to pray? Could you teach us to get outcomes like we see you have? Before Jesus leaves, he gives them the authority key. He said, up to this point, you haven't asked for anything in my name. From here on, use my name, he says. But on this day, when they say, Lord, teach us to pray, he answers them. He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. He goes on to give them the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Now, I brought it to you. I want to just read it to you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever heard that prayer before? Where the rest of you been? Probably the most repeated prayer in the last two millennium anyway. And one way of understanding is it's a prayer that you can repeat. You can recite it. Many of us have. Not wrong, not inappropriate. But I would suggest there's more there. That Jesus didn't just hand us a single prayer. I think he handed us a whole portfolio of ways to pray. Look back with me at that prayer. When he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. To me, that's a prayer of praise and worship. Does it look like that to you? Our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. Sound like praise to you? I think Jesus began the prayer lesson by saying, one way you need to pray is be a person who expresses praise to God. And I don't mean primarily at church when the musicians play and the vocalists sing. The psalmist said it this way, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We approach God with praise. It's a beginning point. So if you want to add a little depth to your prayer file, you want a kind of prayer to pray, every day be certain that you offer expressions of praise and thanksgiving to God. When you awaken in the morning, God, thank you for the day. Before you drift off to sleep at night, God, thank you for sustaining me through the day. When you pull into work in the morning, God, thank you for a place to work. When you're sitting on I-24, God, thank you for all these drivers interacting with me. Let praise begin to resonate from within. You say, I'm not a verbal person. Okay, do it quietly. But don't neglect it. You can do this. We'll talk more about it. There's a second kind of prayer. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sounds like intercession to me. Jesus said, you and I should pray, God, let your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. There's no personal request in that. We're saying, God, let your will break forth here. Let your will break forth in my home. God, let your will break forth in my neighborhood. Let your will break forth in our nation. Somebody has to care enough to pray, because if we don't pray, that door stays closed. God has invested enormous spiritual authority in you. He has. So, well, I don't know how to pray an intercessor. We'll learn. Jesus, if we will say, Holy Spirit, help us learn to pray, he will help us. Now, I would suggest you, I think there's a connection. If you're not willing to do the let's pray thing, if you're not willing to let's pray become a part of your interaction with people, why should the creator of the universe invest true insight and authority into your life if you're not willing to invest a sentence? So they're really, to me, there's kind of layers to this. If we're willing to let prayer become a more consistent part of our interaction with people, I fully trust the Holy Spirit to help us learn to pray more effectively. We'll see outcomes that we've never imagined possible. Look at the third statement. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said we could pray for provision. It's not presumptive or arrogant. You haven't been co-opted by the prosperity gospel. Jesus said, pray for God's provision. For your home, for your children, for where you work. For all the needs of our lives. We have permission. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every day, a prayer of repentance and a prayer of forgiveness of those we need to forgive. It's a great habit at the end of your day. Anything you need to say, Lord, that one wasn't quite right. I'm sorry. And if there's anybody you need to forgive, that person on I-24, Lord, I pray you'll bless those other nine fingers that I didn't see this morning. In Jesus' name. Lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer for direction. Deliver us from evil, a prayer for deliverance. Did you know that Jesus instructed you to learn how to pray for deliverance? From unclean things, unholy things. For yours is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a yielding prayer. It's a prayer of submission. Lord, let your kingdom come. It's your kingdom and your will. Lord, let it be done, not mine. I don't know about you, but I find yielding my will to God, that is a full-time job. I want God to do my bidding. Well, pray for me if you got that one mastered, okay? I would submit to you that in that familiar prayer is a whole portfolio of different types of prayer that we can develop comfort with, that we can learn to utilize. What an exciting invitation in front of us. Jesus didn't say to the disciples, no, you're dumb as a box of rocks. You'd never learn to do it. He didn't say, you inconsistent bunch, you'll all deny me in a few days. He said, no, I'll help you with this. Here you go. Here's the starter set. Don't cut yourselves. Don't run with this. Just walk. I want to pray for you, if I may. I brought you a prayer, but I don't want to read that one with you this morning, if you'll allow me. I'd like to pray for you. But I want to give you an invitation. And then there's two sides. If you're willing to embrace, let's pray. And then you're willing to say to the Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. I'd like to pray for you. How many of you would like to say that to the Lord this morning? I would like to learn to pray beyond anything I know right now. If that's you, just stand wherever you are real quickly. We're going to pray. We're going to go. We don't want to miss the 6-hour pregame show. Make it stop. I'm excited about what God's doing. We are not left here alone. Jesus said, I won't leave you like an orphan. I will send you a helper. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I'm very conscious that I need his help. I am in so far over my head. You ever have that feeling? I just think everybody had it all together, knew how to do life. I've listened to enough people now, we're all lost. We're just trying to fool the kids because they figure it out. We got a real problem. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth and authority. I thank you that you do love us, that you care for us. But I also thank you that you're God of the armies, that nothing intimidates you, that nothing frightens you, that nothing gives you pause. And Lord, we present ourselves today as living sacrifices to you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us. Help us learn to be a people who pray. Give us discernment. Give us insight. Grant us understanding hearts. Give us boldness to speak your word so that you may respond in remarkable ways in our world. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.